Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Beth Lee.
And we are the Youngs. Thanks for joining us today here at Keeping It Young. We interrupt today's normal programming for our weekly Q&A session, and we think you will enjoy the conversation we're going to have today. Let's get that started.
The next question is, how do you help your teen to successfully navigate dating?
I always love this question because most people aren't prepared for my answer on that one. Just the culture we live in encourages teens to date.
Yes.
Of course, you know, they should date. They should be a little couple. They should, you know, it's so cute when, you know, he's got a little girlfriend or she's got a little boyfriend. But I would begin this answer. How do you help teens to successfully navigate dating by saying you teach them to be just friends? Teach your kids to be just friends with those of the opposite gender unless they are ready and prepared for marriage. So an older teen may be ready for marriage. And that sounds so foreign to our culture because we're okay with a teen dating when they're 19, but getting married when they're 19, we're like, are you serious? You're only 19. But if a kid at 18 can date, a kid at 18 can be married if they're prepared for marriage. And if they're not prepared for marriage, then why bother the dating game? They should be focused not on having fun little relationships. What they should be focused on is developing their life to the point where they can have a husband or a wife.
True.
You agree with that?
Yes.
And the book that is very influential in helping with that might be Carrie Schmidt's book called Just Friends. Mm-hmm. That's a good read for teenagers. So yes. If you got teenagers and you're starting to, you know, they're starting to show interest in that dating thing, mm-hmm. It might be good to let them read Just Friends. And, yes. You know, it's amazing because when teenagers are just friends, it takes a lot of pressure off of them.
Absolutely.
They don't feel like they have to have a girlfriend or a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. They can be friends with girls, be friends with guys, and even maybe have a dating situation. Like, you know, there may be an event, a banquet or something.
Right.
That it's okay to dress up and go, you know, choose someone to go with you.
Yes.
But by dating, we mean that exclusive relationship where they pair off, mm-hmm. they talk to each other exclusively, they yes. start developing feelings for one another. Mm-hmm. We will be very quick to say, think of it like this, moms and dads. We would be very quick to say that a 14-year-old is not ready to choose, in the words of our culture, as we look at the culture around us that's dealing with gender identity, mm-hmm. we would say they're too young to make decisions like that.
Right.
But then we treat them as if they're old enough to make decisions about who they're going to marry. And if we are Christians, we believe that marriage is a lifelong covenant commitment before God and the church and each other. Mm-hmm. And so they're not ready for that. So discourage the dating thing. That's my answer.
Right. Well, most parents would say to that, they would be like, well, they're not going to marry them. They're just going to date them. So what would you say to that?
I would say to them, well, then why do we need to be in an exclusive relationship mm-hmm. with someone of the opposite gender? There's danger in that because, number one, when they're exclusive, there tends to be, in our culture, an aloneness.
Yes.
And young people are at an age of their life where their emotions and their hormones are all over creation.
Yes.
That's the way God designed it to happen during the teen years. Mm-hmm. And to have that exclusive relationship at a time when they're struggling, a young man's trying to figure out what it means to be a man. And yes. in the process, he's also trying to figure out how to deal with a girl. Mm-hmm. We know men who've been married for 20 years that are still trying to figure out how to deal with their wife as far as understand her, right?
Yes.
And we expect our young men to do that. Mm. So it's not that it's wrong. We celebrate. In fact, a dad at our church last night mentioned to me something about a young lady and his son. And I said, well, the positive thing about it is that he does like girls. And so we had a good laugh over that. And that is a positive thing. Mm-hmm. You know, we never told our sons, you know, you stay away from girls. We told our sons, be friends with girls, get to know them.
Right.
And observe them. Find out as you're getting to know friends mm-hmm. who are girls.
Yes.
You know, what do you like in girls? What do you see that's positive? What do you see that's negative? Mm-hmm. What would you be looking for based on the girls you're getting to know? What would you say? Boy, I don't want a girl that does that. Or I hope my wife will be different. Or I hope my wife will be like that.
Right.
So mm-hmm. it is a time for growing. So don't focus a teen on dating, but focus a teen on preparing for marriage. And
right.
Moms and dads, I'll tell you, that's something that you have to talk and talk and talk and talk and talk mm-hmm. and talk to your yes. teen about.
Yes.
Because everything in the culture says, if you're 16, you've never had a date, then you're you know, something's really wrong with you. Mm-hmm. Right. And we've got to help our kids understand, no, that's a desirable quality because you're learning to be a man. You're learning to be a woman. You're learning to be godly. This is a time for growing, maturing, learning, expanding.
Yes.
And preparing for marriage.
Absolutely.
And so let's focus on that. So I would just say the answer, how do you help your teen to successfully navigate dating? Well, probably the easiest thing would just be to teach them to be just friends. And let Carrie Smith's book help you. It's called Just Friends. Yes. Our kids have all profited from that.
Yes.
Okay, here's another question. What is the best way to have family devotions if your children are younger? You answer that, Laura.
I would say hang on and enjoy the chaos.
Yes. Be more practical than that.
Okay. Well, sometimes we, I don't know where the, what heart this question came from. Sometimes we want to take family devotion so very seriously, and we want to make it more of a church service, and we are in our fervency frustrated at our children for just being children. So make it simple. Keep it simple and keep it practical. So David has listed here, maybe you could memorize a verse each week with your young children. And, you know, don't make it this huge, long theological passage. Make it something simple that they actually can grasp and that they can understand, maybe something about obedience or about kindness or even something about the gospel. And just every week, every day that week, go over it and ask them different questions about it, and then maybe have a word of prayer when you're done with that. Don't be so hard and fast in your schedule that, oh, we have to have devotions, you know, at 7 o'clock every morning while everybody's running around getting ready for school or whatever. Maybe just make it a time where you know everyone's going to be a little more relaxed. You're not rushing out the door. Maybe bedtime. Bedtime is a good time for us. We've just decided that's a good time for us to have devotions. So whatever we're doing, whether David's reading a passage, whether we're studying a verse and memorizing a verse, we'll go over that. And then we have our time of prayer. So don't be hard and fast about your time. Be flexible. Understand that they're going to be children. They're going to be rolling around on the floor. They're going to ask silly questions. There will be words in the Bible that will make them giggle and not be able to stop giggling. And so it'll be okay. But keep it simple. Keep it practical.
Yeah, and you know, we did it in so many different ways. One of the reasons we started doing bedtime was because of the fact that we're putting the children into their bed, and then we went into their room, and it was a personal one-on-one time is what we made that devotional time.
True.
And I remember, I was trying to think of all the verses that we memorized. We worked on Ephesians 6:1 when they were very small until they could all say that one real well.
Right.
Then we did Genesis 1:1, God created the world. John 3:16, God so loved the world. We went through all the verses from the Romans Road of the gospel presentation. And I just looked for a ton of them. Even with our daughter Charity, this week we have been working on Psalm 91, the first two verses. And just saying them, we just take, we're trying to put them in our memory.
Yes.
I remember there was a time when our kids were younger that we homeschooled, and I get to be home more than some dads would be that hour of the morning. But to remember, we read through Genesis. I think we did that in the morning time for about 2 or 3 months.
True.
Because we took our time. We just read through Genesis so many verses at a time, and we'd talk about it, go back the next day and review it. We just took our time, learned a ton. I remember that. One summer we did, in our travels, we were on the road a lot that summer, and we drove many miles that summer, but we said every day Psalm 19.
Yes, we memorized
14 Psalm verses. And we just said it every day, just read it while we were even driving down the highway.
Right.
And so don't beat yourself up about it. That's a good, good question.
It is.
And if they're younger, Bethany was right, just enjoy the chaos. If they laugh, it's okay. If they don't seem to be paying attention, it's okay. Children will sometimes be listening while they're doing something else.
Well, and you can, you know, call their attention gently back to yourself, and don't make it a really long time. I mean, you sometimes fidget in church if your pastor goes a little bit longer than 30 or 40 minutes in his sermon. So just imagine your 2, 3, 4, or 5-year-old sitting for longer than 5 minutes listening to you talk about the Word of God. So especially when he's got the distraction of being at home. So just be very, very practical about it. And we just did a series on Proverbs. So, you know, as your children are getting older, maybe reading through a few verses in each chapter of Proverbs as
a family. Now, do you fidget during pastor's preaching? Is that what you were saying there a moment ago?
No, that's why I take notes, so that I am fully focused on what's being said.
Just curious. Am I preaching now?
No. It has been a long time since I've been in a service that I thought, okay, we could be done.
All right. We have two more questions in about 5 minutes here.
Here we go.
So let's do it. How do you help a son to navigate his teen years? This almost deserves a whole podcast.
Yes, but it does.
It was a good question that I've been asked by several guys lately, and even mothers. Mm-hmm. And so I would suggest a few things here. Remind him continually in his teen years that he's becoming a man. Mm. And that's not a sarcastic negative statement. Oh my word, you're becoming a man, straighten up.
Right.
That's a celebration statement. You know, you're becoming a man.
Right.
And you remind him of that and you treat him like one. Mm. I would go so far as to say, you don't spank a man. Although when my boys were young men, mm-hmm. I would tell them, you know, if you get in trouble, we're going to, you know, discipline you differently than maybe we did when we were younger.
Right.
When you were younger.
Yeah.
But I always reserve the right. If I have to, if there's an issue big enough that you require spanking, I'm going to do it privately and it's going to be embarrassing for both of us, but I'm still willing to do it if I have to. Mm-hmm. And so you want to just treat him like a man, disciple him, teach him to do manly things and mm-hmm. let him do them. My boys always loved it when I'd let them run the chainsaw.
Right.
Or ride a motorcycle or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. Give him work responsibilities. Hard ones are good. One pastor, a friend of mine told me, he said, you know, one of the greatest things I think parents can do for children is to teach them to do hard things and then let them work their way through hard things. Because mm-hmm. life is hard and life will have any number of hard matters where you have to stay up late, get up early,
right.
put in extra time mm-hmm. and you get frustrated.
Right.
And he said, you've got to teach your kids to do hard things and don't rescue them from the consequences of hard things. Mm-hmm. Let them work their way through it.
Yes.
And there's others here. Insist that he be a gentleman. And we did that with our boys. I'm thinking of that one, standing to shake someone's hand, so forth. Yes. Any others you're thinking of there?
Look them in the eye. Ask your boys to look adults in the eye and speak to them and stand still until the adult is done speaking to them. But they can also learn this, I think, mamas, from your example. David had just said, treat him like he's becoming a man. And sometimes, ladies, we look at our young men growing up in our home and they do foolish things and they can be silly and crazy or even forgetful of things. And sometimes the way we speak to them as a mom is not showing respect to them. It is not treating them like the gentleman that they are becoming. There are ways to correct our son or to remind him to be wise in a situation without fully cutting him down. And I know as our boys were going through those teen years and even the college years, David would help me with that. He would say, now, you know, just be careful in the way you say that. And it was a big help to me because sometimes I still look at them as little boys and they're not little boys anymore.
Sure. And Dad, you can help with that as well, because sometimes, you know, you have to remind your wife to be careful to show, you know, to treat him with respect, even when she's correcting him. But I would also go to my sons in those situations and say, when your mom speaks to you, you are her son and you respond with a yes, ma'am. And you reassure her. You say, Mom, I've got that. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'll take care of that, Mom. Mm-hmm. So it does go both ways. And, you know, help him to protect his purity. We've got podcasts about that that you should listen to. Teach him in practical areas of manliness, how to change a tire, how to check the oil,
right.
how to mow the yard, how to start a lawnmower.
Yes.
And the list goes on. You've been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. Beth and I sure hope you enjoy these weekly Q&A sessions. We always enjoy sharing those with you, your questions and biblical answers and practical answers and words of wisdom. And we enjoy them, and I know that you do as well. If we can answer one of your questions, you reach out to us anytime, and we certainly would be glad to add that to the program. In the meantime, remember that we are a co-production between the TILradio.org and KeepingItYoungPodcast.com. Whatever you do, have a great week ahead, and remember to serve the Lord with gladness.
For more information, or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.